Start your engines. Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Orlando will always be my home. Forever, always. Even if I live in LA permanently, like, Orlando will never be replaced.
Well, on a competitive side, you know, you don't want to see a team in the same division as you being successful. But, you know, overall, you always want the team that you play for to, you know, always be successful, and especially the players that come through and the people that you know.
Now here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Well, we might as well just call it Familiar Friday, right? The voices you heard there, right there, Rashard Lewis as well as Dwight Howard. Two big-time guys, two big-time players on that 2009 NBA Finals team. Really pillars of Magic success here in Central Florida. Both of them are going to be in the building tonight, both of them for different reasons. Rashard Lewis will be honored at halftime. He will also have an informal media session. We also have a podcast coming later this week with one Rashard Lewis, where he sat down with Dante Marcatelli yesterday. We'll drop that over the course of the weekend. How are you going to hear that? You're just going to go to iTunes. You're going to search Orlando Magic Radio, and then you're going to find the Rashard Lewis podcast. You know what you're going to do? You're going to subscribe to it, and then you're going to rate it, and then you're going to enjoy it. And so that's our same selfish, shameless plug. But regardless, it is tonight the Magic. It is the Washington Wizards. The Magic roll into the HC tonight, 4-7, 2-5 inside the friendly confines. They come off what I think is safe to say a frustrating, a confusing, a vexing loss at the hands of the Detroit Pistons. A game in which, you know, that you probably should have had, that you probably had locked up two different occasions. A game in which that really felt like that your starting five was fantastic. But, you know, at the end of the day, like head coach Steve Clifford said, takes more than five guys to win a basketball game. And that's something we're going to talk about here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. So here's what we have on the docket for you today. We're going to rehash Wednesday's game against the Detroit Pistons and some of the things that head coach Steve Clifford said. We're also going to rehash some of the things that Terrence Ross said. And then in the second segment, we're going to have an interview with Stan Heath, who, of course, is the head coach of the Lakeland Magic, the NBA G League affiliate of your Orlando Magic. They return home for the first time this season as they will open up their 2018-2019 schedule with two home games this weekend. First, it'll be the Westchester Knicks tomorrow night, and then on Sunday, you can watch them face the Greensboro Swarm. It'll be a fun game at the RP Funding Center. So we talk about this, but you know what? You can make it a basketball trifecta this weekend. Go see the Magic tonight. Tickets are still available. All you got to do is go to OrlandoMagic.com to find them, and then go out to Lakeland. Make a weekend of it. Staycation. Have fun. Watch some basketball. It should be a good time. So on Wednesday night, and I have to be brief with this, but I do have some thoughts on this. On Wednesday night, I really thought for the first time in a long time, you know, coaches after every game, they come out and they give the same spiel. And they have to be conscious of what they say because, one, they have to protect the integrity of the locker room. They also have to protect the culture that they've also fostered with their team. But I will tell you what, on Wednesday night, for the first time in a long time, I heard the most honest, the most frustrated, and the most passionate post-game press conference I have heard in a long time, and it came courtesy of one Steve Clifford.
That's a good starting five over there to outplay their starters, and then, you know,
which
not
doesn't mean
how frustrating
anything when you lose. Doesn't mean anything. It's a team sport. You can't play five guys and win. Everybody's got to be ready to play. You know, like, you know, one of the things that does have to change is that we have to have all of us expectations of playing well. Instead of just saying, this guy did this good and all this stuff and the fans saying good job, it's not okay. This league is about winning in the playoffs, one thing, and that's one of our problems. The expectations are so much different than when I was here before. You know, those guys didn't play well back well. They heard about it, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And these guys need to hear about it, too, because they're good enough to play better, too. And I need to hear about it, too. That's all fine. That's part of this. But to say, let's find out what's good, let's not. Let's just tell the story, okay? The bench was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. That's it.
You know, and he's absolutely right. You know, the expectations have changed, and that's part of what happens when you go through a rebuild, right? You try and start picking out the positives, and you reinforce those positives to help build better behaviors down the road. But at the same time, he's right. This is a franchise. This is an organization that has now been to two NBA finals. It is a proud franchise with a very proud history. And for the players and sometimes even the personnel and the organization not to acknowledge that, that's a problem. And it's something that we all have to change. We all have to realize That at the end of the day, the goal is to win basketball games and the goal is to get back to the playoffs. And that's what this league, that's what this organization, and that's what this franchise is about. And I thought he spoke from the heart. I thought he spoke on a number of issues that we've wanted to cover for a long time. But sometimes you got to let the head coach say it. And it was the perfect timing. So we do have to duck in a quick break. But when we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, we will talk with Lakeland Magic head coach Stan Heath. He's excited to be back in Orlando. He's excited to be back down the road in Lakeland coaching that basketball team. And a couple of things we're going to touch on. What's going on with their roster? What also is going on with a few Magic draft picks that they'll have with them this week? And we'll talk about all that and more coming up here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center. Rolls along. Magic and Wizards getting set for a 7 o'clock tip inside the AC tonight. But you know what? There's also another team getting set to tip off their home slate. That would be the Lakeland Magic. And now it is my pleasure to welcome in the head coach of those Lakeland Magic. His name is Stan Heath. And coach, I'll tell you what, your season started last weekend with one of those great NBA G League back-to-backs where you played not only in Illinois, but then got to fly to Pennsylvania. Are you ready for the schedule that is the NBA G League?
The G League is not kind. Yeah, we started on the road at Windy City in Chicago and then traveled. That was Friday night. Then Saturday morning, caught a flight into Cleveland, bussed over to Erie, and played Erie later on about 4 hours later. So that's the G League, and it is what it is, but we're excited to play at home, and we've got Westchester coming in here Saturday, a very good team. We're a little bit more healthy than we were the previous week. We've got probably 2 to 3 starters that weren't playing in the previous games that should be able to play. I'll know a little bit more today, but should be able to play on Saturday, so that should be good.
I was going to say, it should be a fun one this weekend. You guys welcome in the Westchester Knicks, but let's talk about kind of everything that went into season one and then getting ready for season two. How much different was it for you in training camp to look and say, hey, I have 7 guys that I had on this roster last year, that last year, this time of the year, I was just trying to get to know these guys, but now I have guys that I can rely on. And how much of a difference has that made for your program and as well for your general manager and Anthony Parker?
Oh, it's a night and day. And, you know, just because of the way it happened, I got hired late. And obviously the process was already going. I didn't start till August, and this year with already being a part of the staff. And then once Coach Clifford came on board, we got a chance to talk, and he shared his views on how he wanted the relationship and the connection to be between Lakeland and Orlando. And I spent a lot of time. I spent all of training camp. I went to, you know, all of the summer league in Vegas. I spent most of the fall. Our players, as you mentioned before, we had Emil Jefferson, Troy Copain, Brian Angola. All those guys were in training camp the whole summer. But we also had other guys, Byron Mullins, Antonio Campbell, Jay Wright, who are also a part of summer league basketball. So they all got integrated into the Orlando Magic system of how things are done. Not to the extent of what the NBA players are doing, but they had a taste of it. So it's made my job a lot easier in coming to training camp, guys knowing the expectation, knowing what we're doing, the conversation or just kind of the language of how we speak is all the same. So it's been quite fun doing it this way, and I can tell our team is ahead. We've got young players in some respects, but we also have a couple guys that are returning guys, so it's made kind of that relationship even better.
What was that conversation with new Magic head coach Steve Clifford like? Because you had to get to know him too, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it was kind of a combination of everything. So, you know, obviously Jeff, John, Steve, as well as Anthony. So there was, I think before even I got involved, was kind of their vision of how they wanted things to go. And once Coach Clifford and I got together, everything just clicked. I mean, I love basketball. He's just a phenomenal teacher of the game, and he's a good person. And he said right away, he said, hey, listen, you know, you're a part of my staff, And, you know, everything that we're doing, I want you to do. When we travel, when I travel with the team in the off or in the preseason, I sit on the bench if we're not doing anything behind the bench. So he's incorporated me in everything. And so, you know, I get a chance to see things up front. And he is really, really good. Like, he is a special, special coach. And there's no question the Orlando Magic are going to have great success going forward.
I was going to say, we got a little taste of how passionate he is about this Magic team in his post-game press conference the other night. It was great to hear that from a head coach. And, you know, certainly hear that from you, too. But, you know, let's talk about, for you professionally, you know, last year was kind of a learning experience for you. You know, you'd been in the collegiate ranks for such a long time, and now it kind of dipping your toe in the professional ranks. For you professionally, going from year one as a head coach of the G League now into year two and kind of learning the intricacies of the NBA system, how has that been for you? I mean, how much more comfortable are you now?
Well, a lot more comfortable. I mean, in some respects, you know, coaching is coaching. A lot of it is, you know, working with players and obviously building that connection and also just the teaching aspect of being a coach. But the game is different. There is a different game. It's a faster game. It's a, you know, the shot clock's different. Some of the rules are different. Also, just kind of the strategies and the spacing on the floor are different too. So there are some learning curves that are thrown in there too. But, you know, I feel fortunate that, you know, we had success in year one. I think I grew a lot as time went on throughout the year of just kind of seeing the game up close. And in this year, just spending summer with the Orlando Magic coaching staff, I think it's even, you know, sped me up even further. So I do feel like I'm in a, you know, a more comfortable space. Not that I was ever uncomfortable, but I definitely feel like I know what's in front of me. And I can communicate that better with my players. And I do feel like, you know, the season's, you know, the G League is the G League. It's going to have its ups, it's going to have its downs. But I think I can help our team kind of manage those ebbs and flows throughout the course of the year.
Well, it was certainly a good year for you guys last year on the court. 28-22 overall. You guys finished second in your division and then fall in the first round of the playoffs. I guess, you know, looking at some of these guys that you have returning, you loved talking about Troy Copain last year, and I know that we loved having him in training camp this year. Speak about Troy Copain. I was already looking at the box score your first two games, and he led you guys in both games. Just from a returning standpoint, from a veteran standpoint, how nice is it to have him back?
Well, you know, to me personally, I just think the point guard is almost everything. It's almost like the quarterback in football. You have to have that position filled. And Troy brings a lot of intangibles to the game. There's things that I know he's still growing and developing as well, too. But, you know, his intangible qualities of being a guy that competes every night, that's if you've ever been around him, I'm sure you've seen him a little bit. His communication is off the chart. Like, he's constantly talking and, you know, most of the time it's good, but sometimes it's, you know, it's a little crazy. But he's unbelievable. Just kind of being that voice in the huddles, being the voice in the locker room, being an extension of the coach on the floor. And, you know, he really wants to win. He really wants to be successful. He'll put his own statistics second behind winning. And that's always so important. So, you know, guys enjoy playing with him. He's, you know, when you're going through a season where, you know, you're traveling, you're on buses, you're on planes, you want some guys that bring energy every day. And he's a high-energy guy and a high-motor guy.
Oh, I certainly remember that when I was working in minor league baseball. And, you know, you spend those bus travels. And, you know, sometimes the guys that can get up and play the music in the back and get everybody going, that helps a lot, especially on those six-hour tours. You know, one thing that you kind of mentioned was the ebbs and flows of the NBA G League season. It's a long process. And, you know, throughout the course of the season, you're going to have instances where, you know, we take a guy or two from you guys to help out with our roster up here. How do you feel about the depth of your club this year? Because looking up and down this roster, it seems like there is much more, I don't want to say quality, but it just seems like you guys have a lot more bodies this year that you guys might be more comfortable with.
Oh, I 1,000% agree with you. And, you know, I've got to give Anthony Parker and Tunji Adedipo, my assistant GM, a lot of credit. You know, they spent, you know, a lot of time. They've got great eyes out there to not only recognize talent, but recognize character as well, too. So those two components are so important. And I do feel like our roster has more depth to it. The only thing that's crazy, we start out before we had these ratchet injuries. We just felt like, man, that's going to be the biggest issue of how are we going to find playing time for all these guys. The next minute, you know, three guys are out, and all of a sudden there's plenty of time all over the place for all these guys. So You know, once we get our roster back in place, I do feel like there's nice talent. You know, we're going to have two guys that can play the five, Emil Jefferson and Byron Mullins. Both are high-level guys. And Byron Mullins, to me, is an NBA talent that, you know, at some point maybe he gets called up, and hopefully so. We mentioned Troy already. I think a guy that two guys that really stick out for me from a talent aspect, that I think as time goes on, the young players, but they're very talented, and once things come together, they'll be high-impact guys, or B.J. Johnson, as well as Brian Angola from Florida State. So I think those two guys are super talented guys. And then we return Gabe York and John Petrucelli, two guys who have been in the G League, John for his third year and Gabe his second year. We spent 1 year overseas. So almost our veterans on the squad that have been around. Actually, both those guys were part of the team when they actually were in Erie before they came to Lakeland. So I do like the depth. I know I left a few guys out here and there, but we do have probably a 10-man, 11-man rotation. And who knows, you know, as you mentioned before, there'll be guys that go up. There'll be guys that maybe, you know, play with us down the road too that will improve our team.
I was going to say, you mentioned Brian Angola, and I got to know him a little bit during training camp, but you talk about high-character guys. That is a great dude right there, just from the interactions that I had with him.
Well, I tell you, it was unique. Before they made the, you know, kind of the roster cuts in the preseason, you know, so he had played in the exhibition games. And, you know, as soon as he got done with his workouts, you know, before the game started at 6 o'clock, he went over to a bunch of young kids. I mean, they had to be, you know, 14, 15 years old. And all he did was sit in the stands with them as we were warming up, as other guys were shooting, and just spent time signing things, taking pictures, just talking to kids. And, you know, as you mentioned, as a high-character kid, he just went out of his way just to spend time and maybe touch a young person, which can mean so much down the road for our future generations.
I love that. Can you speak about Justin Jackson? I know he's still rehabbing with you guys, but what have you seen from him? The Magic took him in the second round in this last summer's NBA draft.
Right.
But what have you seen from him from a personality standpoint and from a rehab standpoint?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him. Mentioned him. He's a very talented young man at 6 foot. I don't know, 6 or 7, depending. But I mean, I think he has a 7 foot wingspan. But he has this unique combination of skill. He can really shoot the ball. He's kind of that new age power forward slash hybrid 4-man, 3-man that shoots it, can play multiple positions on the floor, you know, kind of has a knack of scoring the basketball. And so he has a bright future and a big upside. You know, obviously he had an injury during the season at Maryland where he didn't play with a shoulder separation. And had he not had that, a lot of people thought he would have been a first-round draft pick before that, or even if he played this year, maybe even so this year. But with that being said, he has a little bit of rust. He still, you know, once he came back, he practiced for a little while, but then just maybe not playing for a while. He strained a calf, so we're kind of setting back a couple weeks. But he did practice yesterday. He'll practice again today, full go, and we do expect him to play Saturday, but we are going to kind of ease him along, more of a minute restriction type guy because of the long span of time of not playing. We don't want to just throw him right in there and have him have another setback with an injury. So, but I do expect him to be a very talented young man that will contribute big for us in the future.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will be there on Saturday night when you guys host the Westchester Knicks, and I'm excited to see him on the floor, and I'm excited to see your team. And, Coach, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this, because I know that you're probably one of the few G League coaches in the league right now that have collegiate experience as well as professional experience. And I think it was about a month ago the NBA G League announced that they were going to start offering a $125,000 contract to select high school kids. Your take on what that could do for a kid at 18 years old, what is that like in their decision process? And also, what's that going to be like for the G League? This is still a year down the road, and you guys are still trying to iron all that stuff out. But what are some of the things that this could have an impact on?
Well, I think, as you mentioned, you know, there's still a lot of things that need to be ironed out. But just me, from my standpoint, my eyes, and what I see, I just think opportunity is everything. And anytime you can open up another window for a young man or a young woman to, you know, fulfill their dreams, I think it's a good thing. And as we know, there are some young people at, you know, coming out of high school that maybe had the skills or the talent to right away play in the NBA in some capacity. But there also are some that maybe had the talent and skill, but aren't quite there maturity, or maybe not quite there in some other aspects of their game. And the G League is a great opportunity. And, you know, $125,000 is nothing to sneeze at. It is something that, you know, if a young man, you know, and I do place, I'm an educator. I do place a huge value on education. So don't get me wrong with that respect. Yeah. That college has great benefits. But there are also, you know, young men that see the NBA or see professional sports as their ticket, just like minor league baseball. And I think they should have that opportunity to do that as well, too. And obviously, if you make $125,000, you can spend that money on your education if you want. So I do think it's a great avenue. Our job is not just to win games, but a big part of the G League is development. And a big part of development is we can help them, not just on the court basketball-wise, but just growing as young men in life. So that is a big part of our job. So we welcome that opportunity. We think it's a great thing that the G League has done, the NBA has done, to open up that door for so many kids.
Well, and let's be honest, it's like what you said, they are two completely different games. I mean, you mentioned it earlier in this interview that it's a little bit faster, it's a little bit more physical, and that's a tough adjustment, especially for an 18-year-old kid. Do you feel like you're going to have to be recruiting against colleges almost for players?
No. That's not what we do. I think kids and families, they make their own decisions as to what they want to do. And then once they make a decision, hey, we want to be professionals, then we become involved with all the 30 different NBA teams of watching them at the combines or evaluating, bringing them in for interviews, all those different things. So, no, we're not in a war against college at all. It's the choice of a young man or a family to decide what they want to do.
Absolutely. Hey, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time. It's always great to have you on, and I'm really excited to watch you guys open up your home schedule on Saturday against Westchester, and I'm just excited to see you guys out on the parquet.
Oh, well, I am too. So I'm really excited to get out there, and we expect a good turnout tonight or tomorrow. So we're excited, and please, any of our fans out there from Orlando and any other areas around Florida, please come out and take a look at our product. We have a good team and a good product out there to put for you.
Absolutely. You and Anthony Parker, as well as Shelley Wilkes, have really built a great organization out there, and you guys are a lot of fun to watch. Thanks so much, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
That was Lakeland Magic head coach Dan Heath. You can catch them on Saturday when they open up their home schedule, and then again on Sunday against the Greensboro Swarm. They got a great product, a lot of fun, a little bit different than watching the Orlando Magic play. How about this? Triple header. Go see the Magic tonight. Go see Lakeland on Saturday. Go see them on Sunday. Be a basketball junkie. Enjoy it. All right, guys, that does it for us here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic Tonight with Brandon Kravitz is next.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.